prices. Stocks have gone down, our money's not sound, we're busted. Our jobs are now gone, what can we say? The national debt, it gets bigger each day. Our retirements are gone, vanished away, we're busted.
Oh, 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 we're busted. Oh, we're busted.
The party is over. We stand alone and we're busted.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay the prices high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel,
it's
gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow,
good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live, see if we can get these microphones set just right, this Saturday morning, January 5th, and we'll bring them in on. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, Brother John.
Good morning.
And Tim from Nebraska. Thanks for joining us, brother. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we say thank you to the remnant. We thank you for joining us this morning. And we got kind of a reprieve in our weather. We were below zero last week, but we're up in the in the 20s today, so not too bad. But and we say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome too. And we thank you for this beautiful sunrise that I can see out the window, and for this opportunity to gather for fellowship and talk about some of the things that are going on, and to, well, maybe to encourage one another. Well, John, if you want to open us up in prayer, we'll get the phone lines open a little bit later, but we'll, it's always a good thing to start right there.
Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for this time that you set aside for us to encourage one another, to love and to good deeds. Father, guide and direct our thoughts. Give us knowledge and wisdom, understanding and discernment as to what it is that's important for your people, the remnant. There's so much going on in the world today. Lord, as we enter into this new year, the year of our Lord, 2019, you say we have not because we ask not. Well, we're asking, Lord, we continue to ask for wisdom and knowledge and discernment. We continue to ask for more Holy Spirit. Father, we want to add to that list this year more faith, Lord. Faith to believe in the blessings and the promises that you've given to your people in your covenant. Father, help us to understand that there's only one thing that you cannot do, and that is lie, which means that all of these promises, all of these blessings are promises that you made for your people if we but keep your commandments, statutes, and laws. So, Father, let that sink in to your remnant. Help us, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit help us to become more obedient, to follow your commandments, statutes, and laws, and to be examples in this new year. Father, give us the opportunity to speak to those that may not know you. Father, and give us the boldness to speak the truth, no matter what the consequences. Just as your word says in Hebrews 1:14, Lord, that you've given us charge over myriads and myriads of angels. And Lord, we ask that you would send those ministering angels out even as we speak, Lord, that you would prepare those that can come to repentance, prepare their hearts and minds and souls to receive the truths. Give us the Holy Spirit-inspired words, Lord, to not kill them with the truth, but, Lord, to feed them just a little bit of salt at a time, Father, so that they hunger and thirst for more truth. Father, send your guardian angels to protect those that are yours. Send your warring angels to battle Leviathan. Lord, we know that there's no greater weapon, offensively or defensively, than the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we plead that precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ over ourselves and our wives and our children and all that you blessed us with, Lord. We continue to pray that the things in the dark would be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops, Lord. Continue to pray that you would send confusion into the camp of the enemy, Father, that they would turn upon one another and devour each other. Lord, we just pray for your blessings and protection in this new year. And we give you thanks for all of our trials and tribulations as well as our blessings, Lord, knowing that you refine us into the men and women that you want us to be to serve in your kingdom. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord. We thank you that we are not only called, but you chose us for this purpose. Help us also to realize that with great reward comes great responsibility, and each and every one of us has a responsibility to fulfill the Great Commission, all aspects of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. Had a little blast from the past. Saw just this past week, picture from about 4.5 years ago, and it was of gas prices, and they were in the lower $3 range, $3.35, I think I saw one. And you know, when you look at gas prices here now, several years later, $2.35. Saw a thing here, I think right before Christmas in Arkansas, it was $1.98 a gallon, and diesel has followed that as well, I believe. I think I've seen it come back down a little bit. And
I don't know, man, but back east, diesel was a dollar more a gallon. You tell me how you justify.
Oh, it shouldn't
that.
Be that way. It shouldn't be that way at all. But no. But it sure does seem that gas prices have come down. Fuel prices have come down again.
Bottom fell out of the oil.
Yeah.
Oil's down $44-$45 a barrel. That's half of what it was.
So it is.
Price, really, in reality, fuel should be a dollar a gallon, and diesel should be not much, should be the same.
Yeah. And when it gets,
yeah,
if it gets below $40 a gallon, that's what I've heard previously is the price, or a barrel, right? that when it gets, or when the domestic producers, those little guys, can be productive. Back a few years ago when they started pumping some oil out of here, you know, a little bit more in the country, that's where it was. And it's just interesting that they have that kind of set, and it's not a natural supply and demand type thing. But
we devastated OPEC.
Right, as you said, when that
domestic oil.
Yeah, when that bottom fell out.
In the world right now.
So
yeah,
it's
the number one exporter in the world right now.
Yeah, interesting times.
Yep. Well, I know they just found a new oil reserve down in Texas, of all things. I mean, it was like, Texas has got oil, but they just found a new reserve down there, and they're claiming that this new one's even larger than anything they found in the United States, including Alaska, too, I think. If I understood right.
Wow.
But that's like, don't know where that one was hiding at, but evidently it's massively huge. And, and they sold everybody this whole bill of goods that, you know, it was all dino bones. And the truth of the matter is it produces, the earth produces that oil, and it continues to recharge and to build up and to create more. And, it's just an interesting power play for them the way they've done that. So,
makes you wonder if we shouldn't be exporting it.
Exactly. Well, we're supposed to be the largest exporter in the world now. We even surpass Russia. So that's like, wow. One of the biggest issues is thanks to EPA regs and everything else, I was really surprised at how few refineries we have. I mean, you know, there should be. And the other thing that doesn't make sense to me when you look at that is how far the refineries are away from the places that it comes from. It's like, wow. So, you know, and they always come up with some excuse for one refinery goes down and the price jumps. It's like, well, let's get a few more refineries out there. And as far as the diesel price goes, I think it might be in relationship to the fact that practically everything that's production oriented in this country has to have diesel fuel to work. You know, whether it's trains or trucks or tractors, construction equipment. I mean, it all moves on that. So evidently,
I experienced once with Jason when we were hauling furniture, big, 40-foot triple axle trailer and dualies, and went into a truck stop one time. It was early in the morning, probably 3 in the morning. Might have been a new gal working there or something, but filled. We had 100-gallon tank in the bed, and then 30-35 was the factory, and filled up 135 gallons or whatever, and it was back, I think, when fuel was $4 a gallon or whatever it was, and she said, "Do you get the fleet discount?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And next thing I know, I got 50 cents a gallon discount. So my theory is that to appease the truckers who buy more fuel than anybody, there's a discount for fleets that may be in the 50 cent range, you know. But in order to compensate for that, the poor saps who drive diesel pickups in anything other than the semis or fleet pay a dollar more than unleaded. That's my theory.
It would certainly make some sense because it would tie in, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, and there's a lot of that going. And the other thing is the condition of the roads, the fuel tax is high. I mean, it's like, and it continues to get higher constantly. I mean,
yeah,
it's like, wow. So I had somebody, I was at the fuel station there the other day, and somebody was filling up here and said, do you know what the fuel tax is? Because this fuel is ridiculous. And I said, well, it's sure not helping any. So, I mean,
the last time I knew it was over 50 cents a gallon.
They taken off of that. Those roads ought to be paved in gold.
Yeah. Exactly. Or 5 foot deep in asphalt. I mean, it's like, wow.
So, I remember one time when fuel went up, you know, 4 or 5 bucks a gallon or whatever it was here in Chicago, just the suburb or city of Chicago or whatever, they suspended their fuel tax for, you know, X amount, 3 months or whatever it was, and it dropped like 70 cents a gallon in that area, so it's big money.
Yeah, and that's a gallon. I mean, wow, imagine the thousands.
And you pay tolls everywhere you go there. It's ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah, Denver's...
It costs about $3 to get from I-88 into the suburbs of Chicago. The last time I did it with a single axle 4x8 trailer, it cost me $27. Tell me.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
All the,
wow. I'm like, what do you mean?
So many of the metro areas are doing that. You guys see it down in Colorado. You want to go to the airport, you're going to get an $8 or $9 bill in the mail. They don't make you stop and pay. They just send you a bill as they take a picture of your tag. And Central Florida's the same way. You know, everybody's got either the Sun Pass or the Turnpike, you know, little ticket or something. And they put these roads in many times government subsidized. And then they're charged with the upkeep. And they set the tolls. And it's like that just to go to Branson. You drive 70 across, you hit that toll road. Where's that in? That toll there in Wichita, right?
Kansas.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Kansas City Turnpike.
Around Topeka. Yeah.
Yeah, Topeka. And it's, but isn't it also Interstate 70? The interstate that was paid for by tax dollars? But now has it been sold? Is someone else just administering it, kind of like the Federal Reserve administers the money in the country? But I think things like this, people are starting to wake up to it, starting to see that, hey, the emperor, he ain't wearing no clothes. He doesn't, you know, this is not the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, they have a big stink.
Go ahead.
Indiana signed a lease with this company out of Mexico. It was a Spanish company, Centro Sanchez Abada Transporte Sinatra, whatever. But that started in 2006. And the truck, a five-axle truck going on that tollway across Indiana was $14 when they signed the lease. And that basically gave this Spanish company control of it for 75 years. It, within the first 6 months, it went from $14 to $32. The same company is the one that's been buying up toll roads. They've been buying up toll roads since '99, but this was one of the biggest ones that they had bought. They signed a deal just that they're supposed to take control of some of the toll roads in Texas, and that was a $1.4 billion contract. And that's supposed to give them, when they put those toll roads in, it was a 99-year controlled deal when the state put it in. And that is what that did, is that funded the building of all the roads and everything, and it was a 99-year control, and then it's supposed to go back to the state of Texas. Well, they're so many years into it, but basically the lease they signed was for the next 43 years, they're going to be, the Spanish company is going to be in control of it. And that's that was supposed to start the end of this last year.
Time to put some heavy-duty bumpers on the trucks, I guess, and crash the gate doing 98.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there was a big stink out there in California on that. That was in Southern Cal, and some Chinese company wanted to buy one of those toll roads. Yeah, and I know there was one guy there that's saying, you know, his current bill every day to drive to work was like $4 a day on this toll road he had to take in order to get to where he needed to go, and that if it went ahead and sold, it was going to run it up around $20 a day for him. He said, I won't even be able to afford to go to work there anymore. You know, he said, it's just, It's just crazy. I mean, $600 a month, and he said it's more than my fuel is to drive to work. So,
and that's part of the plan, isn't it? Isn't that part of the plan, part of Agenda 21? Well, you need to live, don't live so far outside the city. You know, move in and take public transportation. I think it's one more part of it.
Yeah. It's a scam, too, though. If you get their transponder, you know, in the state that you're in, which, how do you do that when you're traveling through there? But anyways, if you have their transponder, then you get a substantial discount, you know. I'm looking, when you go through the Illinois there, there's the price for what it costs you with the transponder, you know, as you fly through the deal. And then if you're paying cash, and they're totally trying to discourage people from paying cash. And now even some of those booths aren't even manned. So if you don't have $3.60 in your pocket to throw change in their stupid coin bin, then, you know, you're kind of in trouble. But I asked a couple of them, I'm like, well, can you explain to me? It says $1.60 for cars and two-axle vehicles. I'm pulling a little one-axle trailer that I can move by hand, and it goes to $3.60. Can you explain that to me? Oh, nope, that's just a policy. Whatever. There's not even any logic in their calculations. Imagine that.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I thought was interesting, a little subject change, but I thought was interesting was that they swore some women in with the Koran. I seen Nancy Pelosi took part in that too. So I thought that was they had some profanity and stuff going on over there. And another interesting thing in there, just to throw out, was opening day after they swarm in, they put forward, what was it, 284 bills in Congress.
Did they really?
Somebody was putting in some overtime before they got there. I mean, it just absolutely staggers the imagination that, to me, 284 bills of more junk that this country needs. We're so top heavy with regulation now that it's, whether it's from roads like we're talking about, or there's just so many things going on there. I mean, the regulation is just reprehensible. And when you look at the fact that we're in the middle of a government shutdown, and I don't think anybody's noticed, you know. So it's just one of those. You know, there's some of that going on there. But the Koran business just left me in a Christian nation, and where our forefathers bled, fought, and died, and gave their lives and their sacred honor and their fortunes and everything else in order to get free of all that other influence.
You look at where they're coming from. The first one, Ellis, came from Minnesota. As the Somalis and Muslims invaded certain areas of Minnesota, Dad exposed that. In fact, it was. Those of you living in Michigan were those two Congresswomen, so-called Muslims, were sworn in by the Koran. You might want to be a little bit careful and prayed up, because the first time a representative was swore in on a Koran, there was a bridge that unexplainably collapsed in outside of, what was it, Minneapolis, I think. And anyways, you know, people say, oh, it doesn't matter if these people build these communities in these areas. Really? Yeah, it does, because that's where these new Muslim women came from, Michigan, and Michigan's been overrun by Muslims too. And something that's really concerning, doesn't scare me, but it's concerning, Nancy Pelosi, who really is a closet Muslim, if you ask me, but she's third in line to run this country. Remember that. If the president and the vice president were taken out or incapacitated, that psychotic biatch would be the head of the country. So that ought to keep you on your knees alone.
Amen. Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Amen to that. Amen to that. You know, Tim, you mentioned all those bills and that they that these ungodly, unchristian, un-American people that were elected as representatives and in Congress women, I guess, that's probably, I probably broke three laws right there just in that statement, but that's the way it goes. But Congress women were elected. One of the House bills I saw, I didn't get a chance to get details on it, was but a bill to outlaw private gun sales. Because that's part of, it's all tied together. It's part of that, you know, that disarm the American people. Now, of course, the criminals aren't going to disarm, but that's one of the first bills that was put in the House. And that's a federal, that's a national bill that they're putting that in. So, yeah.
The New Year's, we still have the Senate, so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But the battle rages on, you know, the it does. The battle rages, and that's what it is. And the facts don't matter. I saw a quick thing this morning that there's almost 5 million more Americans employed now than, you know, before 2 years ago. 5 million more Americans employed. But see, those type numbers don't. Yeah, you know, they mean nothing to the left. To those that come to steal, kill, and destroy, those are horrible numbers. Those are horrible numbers. Yeah, it needs to be a time of prayer, for sure.
Well, the first bill they passed was to allow religious head coverings in the chambers of Congress, because those Muslims want to wear their hijabs in there. So that was the first order of business, was to pass a bill changing the rules that have been there since the beginning, that you could not wear a head covering in the halls of Congress.
Huh. Well, and I think one of those Muslim women that were sworn in, I think she's married to her brother, or was married to her brother.
Oh, God.
Had you heard that? I mean, it was like, really? That's a little. It occurred to me yesterday. I was thinking about something came up, and they were showing the MAGA hat or a T-shirt, and you know, "Make America Great Again" slogan. And I was like, I think it should be "Make America Godly Again," because that will make America great again. And you know, all these things are. Really, all these things are an affront to God, and they're always pushing. They push this insurance all the time, whether it's Obamacare or whether one of the bills that they were talking about in Congress was, and I'm not sure if that was a state bill or a federal bill. There were so many of them, I actually got confused. But it was a paper blizzard. But they were talking about the fact that one of the bills that they were trying to get through was in regards to insurance for gun owners, that if you don't have your gun locked in a safe, unless it's on your person, I mean, you can't even have it on your bedstand or anything, that you would be liable if that gun was stolen and used in a crime. You would face criminal prosecution because you owned a gun and someone, you know, used that gun in whatever act. And so the big push there was, of course, was to have insurance on gun ownership. And I don't necessarily have a major issue with insurance, but assurance is much better. Godly assurance is what we seek. And I realize that there's times that we have to, you know, a wise man takes care of his situation, but they leave God out of it and totally push for this insurance, this mandatory insurance, this regulated insurance all the time that enslaves. I mean, there's people out there who are insurance poor, you know. I mean, it's like, you know, we have a neighbor who has health insurance and she has heart conditions and the like, and her insurance is like $1,800 a month for her health insurance. I mean, it's like, it's when you consider that all the costs for her to make a living every month are maybe $2,000 or $2,500 a month, and when you add on the fact that she's paying $1,600 in addition to that a month for that,
that there's something wrong with that, you know. I mean, it's ungodly. I mean, it's like, so I think that they, when they take God out of the picture, they substitute these false idols for that kind of stuff, and it becomes about making merchandise out of God's people, you know. The other thing is that Maria Maria Chappelle Nadal, you know, she got on there, and of course she started dropping all these F-bombs about Peach, or about Trump and impeachment, and you know, yeah, I can't help but think if somebody did use that kind of language during the Obama administration, someone would have been really, really upset. And she was just carrying on about it. And one of her tweets was, she said, quote, "I like dropping F-bombs on the record. It clears up any uncertainty." You know, it just seems to me that, of course, they can be offended over what kind of language you use to describe gender or race or anything like that. But we shouldn't have, you know, God's people, if you're offended, that doesn't make any difference.
Yeah,
yeah, it's pretty crazy.
It is.
And then Pelosi had to jump up and back her on everything that she said and just kind of try to turn the tables on that.
Yeah, but
somebody said that even Pelosi was sworn in on the Quran. I couldn't find anything on that to confirm it, but I wouldn't doubt it, to be honest with you.
Oh, she was. They had pictures of her standing there with the other ones that were sworn in, and she had her hand raised, and she was sworn in on the Quran.
Well, that's pretty significant.
Yeah.
It is.
It is.
It absolutely is.
The fact that we allow that is, there's something wrong.
You know, it's interesting because one of the first things that comes into my mind is the House that divided against itself cannot stand, and look at the position that she's got. She's Speaker of the House for a second term.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's called the House of Congress, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
Good point. Well, and, you know, we keep praying that God would send confusion into their camp and that they'd turn upon one another and devour one another. And in reality, a lot of that's going on. I mean, there's things going on behind the scenes that I believe that these demon rats are rolling over on each other left and right to save their own butt. And I think even some high-ranking officials, one of the most encouraging things lately is the fact that I don't know if you saw, but some huge insurance companies that like insure the World Trade Center and things like that, they got hacked big time, and someone's holding those insurance companies ransom for all the information on 9/11 that they said would decimate anyone involved. I also believe that the Trump administration, since he got into position of power, has been investigating 9/11. As a New Yorker, you know, he knows more than most. In fact, as a builder and have built many of those skyscrapers. I mean, we talked about this back when 9/11 happened, but if you look at the structure of that World Trade Center, it was designed specifically with an external steel skeleton, heavy steel I-beams on the exterior of the building, and the windows were all really narrow because of that external skeleton. And you know, they said when they blew the basement, you know, when the terrorists blew the basement trying to take the building down, he was quoted as saying he walked that with the structural engineers like 3 days after it happened, and half the columns were blown underneath that building and it still stood. So, you know, we all know obviously that it was a setup, but for that to come out, you would think, hopefully Lord willing, would awaken a large number of people who are under a spell.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Yeah. There's...
Well, folks...
You know, their own munitions experts said that there's no way that could have happened, and especially the Pentagon, when you look at that, you know, that was a plane, really. So... I think one thing that a lot of people don't realize is that
even if we have all of the information exposing all of the corruption and treason within the country, even as far back as JFK, probably even sooner, you know, before that, the goal isn't really to destroy the entire republic, because then you have anarchy and chaos, but the goal is to expose those that were treasonous and demonic in a lot of ways, the things that are being done to children. Our pastor exposed that many, many years ago, and I think that's what we just need to continue to pray, is that the things in the dark would be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops, because we're seeing that almost daily. Stuff from even decades ago that is coming back to haunt these people who thought they were above the law and thought that there was no way, because they all had dirt on each other, that there was no way that it could ever be exposed. But God is definitely answering our prayers, in my opinion.
Amen. He always does.
Yeah, there's a lot of, well, and I think that's the other thing, is I know there's some complaints about how fast this swamp's being drained and those sort of things, and I think that what a lot of people don't realize is how deep and how tangled the web, the Bible says it's a net that they've cast, you know, a net of deception, a net of destruction, and it is a net. I mean, it just, you know, if you pull on one string, there's hundreds more that come with it. And
it's worldwide. I think it's not just in our country, it's worldwide.
No, and it's like it all weaves together to create this chaotic, and I think especially to God's people, this stuff is chaotic. I mean, I think that, you know, you can't fathom the depth or the, you know, of depravity, the depth of power, and all those things that go on. And I think it's a good thing that we can. We're supposed to be, but that doesn't change the fact that that's what they've done. And they confuse everything, and their master is the author of confusion, and the master liar, and all those sort of things. And when we look at that, it makes it, it's one of those things, the only option you have is to call the master to, you know, get rid of it, because it's like, Lord, it's way beyond me. I can't figure it out. So, but I know who can.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's so important, I think, to, especially this year, we need to make a New Year's resolution, if you will, to strengthen our faith and to go forward in faith with the assurance of victory that God promised us, you know. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. What can we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Now thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph, but thanks be to God, who gives us victory through Jesus Christ. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. So, I mean, all of these things, plus Luke 10:19, that all of us need to memorize, you know, that he's given us authority to trample upon scorpions and serpents, and that's what we're dealing with, you know, a den of vipers, and all of the power of the enemy. And then he promises, and nothing by any means shall harm you. So those are the things I think we need to stand on in 2019 as we go forward in this battle. I mean, we all read the end of the book. We know we win. It's just a matter of when. And, you know, I still believe God's given us a window to come to repentance to fulfill 2 Chronicles 7:14. And that window, at least the first part of it, is 2 years into it. And, you know, we may have 2 more years. We may have 6 more years. I don't know. But each and every one of us has a responsibility to, at the very minimum, pray. What irritates me more than anything is some people within our ranks who even if everything that our president and the government leadership right now said would come true and it restored a godly government, removed all the treasonous bastards and the Antichrist they wouldn't be happy because what they said they were going to do was fulfilled, and there's something wrong with that. You put yourself in the same boat as the enemy when you're praying pretty much against the authorities that at least, and you know one thing for sure, we're better off than we were.
Amen.
With the abomination administration, and we made huge strides. It was very, very disheartening to me to see the statistics that, and I don't know that this is true, but as far as I can tell, it looks like 41 million babies were killed this year in abortion. And, you know, when you have that kind of sacrifice going on to their god, Moloch, the god of this world, you're not going to have the victory. So we need to get to a place where we target, you know, we were doing it for a while. We need to continue to put that on the list of the prayers, that those things would be exposed. And I think we have a better chance than we've ever had right now, at least in the Supreme Court. And I heard some rumblings about some Roe versus Wade stuff going to the Supreme Court. So,
amen.
You know, we have a good chance of getting at least one more Supreme Court judge. And so, I don't know. As for me and my household, I'm going to continue to pray in faith, believing that God's promises are real, His blessings are real, and that He will hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land if we humble ourselves and pray and seek His face.
Amen.
And turn from our wicked ways. And that means we need to tell as many people as we can that the same truths, that, you know, here's God's promise. If you're willing to do this and you can get someone else to do this, and then God will fulfill His promises. So it's exciting times for sure.
Amen, amen. It is. It is. Well, guys, let's try the phone line here. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, good morning, Richard. Good morning, man.
Morning, Joe.
Morning, Joe.
I don't know if you guys have heard about anything regarding the gun legislation in New York State, but I heard on the radio earlier this week, AM radio coming out of Binghamton, New York, they were mentioning something about it. I didn't catch the whole thing. They are going to require, or they're trying to pass legislation that will require search engine results and viewing habits of websites and so forth in order to renew or apply for a permit for a pistol or a handgun of any kind, or even you know, carry permits.
You know, the thought that occurs to me on that, Joe, if they're pushing on that, is our pastor, the prophet and seer that he was, he warned about that, thought crimes. So you can't even, you're not even supposed to, you know, to, and there's some things you're not supposed to look at, that's for sure. There's no doubt about that. That is certainly scriptural and biblical. We're told to turn our eyes from evil.
Amen.
But see, and that's what the enemy does, is they take God's laws and they twist them and misconstrue them, and that's probably part of those that,
well,
that
it's,
Tim
it's
was
part of,
asking.
Ostensibly, and I can't find whether it's been enacted or not, but in the legislative sessions of 2017 and 2018. Now, I didn't hear anything about it until just now. I'm not a New York State resident, but it's part of the penal law. That was quite interesting to read on, and I'm going to continue to look into this. But that just is, it's a thought crime. It's actually exactly right.
It is,
you know, and of course it's predicated. The legitimacy is predicated on the notion that if you are capable of doing anything violent, which you know, they don't want any violence at all, you know, just the lion lies down with the lamb, so forth and so on.
Well, they don't want you to be violent with them.
Well, it hasn't been voted on. They did have a lot of new legislation that went through, but basically they introduced a new bill, and And under the new bill, it would require, if you want to own a handgun, you have to give up your email password, you have to give up all your social media, if you have a Facebook account, if you have a Twitter account, if you have any of that stuff, you have to give up your passwords, and you have to give them complete control over it so they can see who you're talking to and who's talking to you, and that they can maintain control of it. But it's a bill that has been introduced, but they haven't voted on it yet.
Yeah, well, I got news for you.
I'm now looking at a picture
already using that stuff
of the guy that introduced it. His name is Kevin Parker, and he's a black man with a suit jacket. He doesn't have a regular tie like everybody else. He's got a little pretty little bow tie and a really, really light pink button-down shirt and a really, really pink little handkerchief hanging out of his breast pocket. And he looks like a real squeaker to me.
Well, praise God.
Anyway, that's all I had to say, except... Of course, you guys probably already know that there is a 30-second to about one full minute of interruption on the shortwave broadcast every now and then.
So, okay, thanks, Joe.
In case you didn't know, and I'm sure you do, because everybody's got short waves and stuff. And I don't know whether it's streaming, but I definitely, all throughout the day and night, that happens.
All right, Joe. Thanks.
So, we'll talk to you later.
All right. God bless.
All right. Thank you. You too. Bye.
You know, along those lines, though, they already use anything social media against you to track you. And so,
absolutely.
All I can say is be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove at the things that you post on those things. And also watch your speech, you know, who you're talking to. Bragging about what you got is not really a good idea these days in the snitch colony that we live in. I was going to say, when Tim was talking about the insurance for the firearms, you know, if a weapon was stolen and used in a crime, first thing they got to have is registration to track that gun back to you. So
exactly,
that's what they want more than anything. They want that registration, and then guess what? They can also frame you a lot easier than they can now. But you know, the DNA thing is somewhat concerning as well. The fact that you know, that once they got your DNA, they could probably pretty much set you up for anything you want. So, what's the moral of the story? Pray in faith. You know, believe in that he that is for us is greater than those that are against us, and that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. You know, and not just say it, but believe it. And go forward in faith. You know, the Bible says that we're to speak boldly as ambassadors in chains, and that's what we need to do, because that's what our pastor did, that's what he taught us to do. And if you look around in the world today, it's sad, but there's more and more effeminate men everywhere you look, and there's businesses that are hiring these effeminate men just because they believe that there's not going to be any conflict. And you know, even the place that I've been working for as many years as I've been working, my business was done on a handshake and on honor of getting the job done and worry about the details later. And those days are coming to an end.
They are, because there's no honor.
People getting in positions of authority now. We got a new director, and you got people getting in positions of authority now that have gone through the indoctrination of the public school system, and they're getting into positions of authority, and they're changing the things that that used to be done on a handshake and done in honor, and you know, with your realizing that your name is worth more than your paycheck. And they don't understand that. And I told them, I said, look, point blank, the deals that I've made prior to you coming here, I'm keeping. And if you don't like that, then I guess I'll retire a little earlier. So,
yeah, there is no honor.
The Lord, stand, John.
Yeah, amen, amen. Don't remember the exact quote, but you know, it's been put out before that the Constitution we have, the laws that we have, are for a Christian moral people. That's how our society works. And when you don't have that, when you don't have that, when you have these filthy talibs, Muslim congresswomen being elected to Congress, you know, bringing with them hundreds of bills that are anti-American, cursing our president, you know, and it just, it's not that that is where a problem is, but that shows that that problem is all throughout society. And you're right, these effeminate, these ungodly, these, you know, America was great because America followed the Bible. And when America stops following the Bible, when Americans stop following his word, America is no longer great because it'll no longer be good. It is as simple as that, and there is no getting around it in any way, shape.
No, it's sad. Before the Obamanation administration, you never heard cuss words in the House of in the House of Congress. You never heard representatives in positions of authority that were over the country use that kind of language. You just never did. And Obamanation himself did many a time, and his attorney general, and, you know, on and on it goes. And so now it's commonplace, apparently. I'll tell you what, man. They ought to take her out and flog her for talking about the leader of the free world like that. You'd have said that about Obama, they'd have had you in cuffs and in jail.
Oh, there'd have been riots and all kinds of things in the street. I mean, it would have just been... But definitely someone would have lost their job out of the deal. You know, I mean, it's like, yeah.
She don't even have to apologize. She's being raised up.
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
Yep.
Well, and there's a lot of, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about the fact that, well, you know, we don't really know what kind of person this is. We don't really know this or that, and whether they're on which side they're on. And I always just, like we've said, all things work together for good to those who love God. But the story that I take the hope out of, or that I get the meaning out of, is always goes back to that story of Balaam. He was working for the other side. He took their money to put a curse on Israel, and no matter what he did, he could only bless them. So that's the example of God using somebody on the other side for the good of his people.
He can turn curses into blessings, absolutely.
Amen.
You know, praise God. I mean, it's like, yeah.
And that's the way he'd do it, too, you know. He, just like our pastor told us, too, when God intervenes, it'll be when no one else can take credit for what he's doing to save the nation. I mean, that's bottom line. So, which means we have to go a lot further down before it can get to a point where only God can... save us. I mean, we're getting close, I think. But...
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and you know, you look at talking about the gun legislation and the gun laws and the social media. I mean, you know, down here in Boulder, we've got it was in New York Times this week, and it called them gun-toting hippies greet Boulder assault weapons ban with mass noncompliance. And basically, I guess there's a flood of stickers, big yellow stickers with black letters on them that people are putting on the back of their cars. We will not comply. We will not comply. They're wearing "We will not comply" T-shirts, holding signs, having rallies, and you know, it's like, you know, I mean, how talk about absolutely no discretion at all. It's like, you know, standing out. I mean, you're basically standing out there. You're holding a sign saying, "Hey, I'm a criminal. Prosecute me." And
exactly.
You know, I'm looking for trouble. And it's like, you know, where do you really expect that to get you? I mean, it's, you know, there's discretion is a key point there.
I'll tell you what's changed for sure. Is the search engines too. If somebody knows of a honest search engine other than Google anymore, I'd like to know about it, but I typed in, "The Constitution is only for a Bible-believing people." And I know for a fact, even a year ago, that that would come up with... Who is that who said that, Jason? Was it Horace Greeley, or was it...
Thomas Jefferson, but anyway.
I think it was Jefferson or Adams.
This is what's coming up now. Misquoting our founding fathers,
mm-hmm.
of course.
Mm-hmm.
Six myths about U.S. Constitution too many people believe.
That's right.
So,
and so, John, when people ask...
That the search engines haven't changed.
Oh, they absolutely have. And so you know what's in everybody's home now, right? Ask Siri has been on the phones for years. I've never used it. I've never asked Siri anything. But then who is it now? Is it Alexa? Is that who the big media thing is now, like Google has? Ask Alexa or something like that. It's the, you know, the little cone they have in their home.
Echo
and things like that, right? Ask. And so I've seen news reports say, how cute it was. Mommy caught little Bobby asking Alexa or Echo, you know, help with his math problems, this and that. And they are the ones that are putting the information in there and teaching these lies. These lies. There is no place in this, in what these filthy pigs want for this New World Order, for Christ or Christians or anything like that at all. It is an absolute war. That's what war means. When the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, it was to destroy the Americans. Not to whip them, but to destroy them. To steal, kill, and destroy them. And that is what we are in today. And you're absolutely right, John.
Here's the next going down the list. Constitution, not Bible, is supreme law of the land. WashingtonPost.com, the godless Constitution, the case against religious correctness.
And they preach that.
The conservative crusade for Christian Sharia law. These are the searches that come up. Now, when you type in, the Constitution is only for a Bible-believing people. Now, you tell me that things haven't changed in social media and in the search engines. Better invite people to church. We're just about out of time.
Well, folks, we do invite you to church tomorrow. Come join us. Don't forsake the assembly. Pastor put it together where you can do it right from your own home, wherever you have your computer. If you go to scriptures4america.org, starting at 8:30 in the morning, click on the live video stream, and we will have a little bit of everything for you. We won't be jumping on trampolines like that guy down in Texas was, but we will have some biblical, solid biblical teachings and readings and discernment for you, and a timeless pulpit truth that we are seeing these prophecies coming true. And John, looking forward to your live message, and we'll have communion, and so we encourage you to come and join us. And you know, it's kind of like eating. You might think, well, I don't need that. I don't need that. You know, did you eat yesterday and the day before and the day before? Yeah, you did. You need that. Well, we need as Christians, we need that Christian fellowship. We need time to take time away from the world, focus on God, look at His Word, spend time, even if it is on the computer, with like-minded Christians. That is part of how we recharge our batteries. And that's you, me, and the remnant. And so we encourage you to join us there. And that's starting at 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, at scriptures4america.org. Well, men, thanks so much for joining us. And good Lord willing, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make 'em health and forever. Knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.